the significance of hope in a country that is fast losing so much on the lowest ebb of hope. When people start losing hope, they stop dreaming. They stop believing there's a future. And the Holy Spirit wants to give hope to us as His people, to us as a nation, and I believe it's a prophetic word for someone here. I was standing outside, and a couple engaged me this morning. I just spoke a few minutes, and the Holy Spirit just captivated my heart. I know the man. I didn't know his wife. I didn't connect, haven't connected. I said, why don't we just pray here right now? She didn't say a word. And as I sensed that she had lost hope because of disappointment, right out on the front lawn, it was just tears. God wants hope to be restored. Because when hope is restored, dreams come a flooding into your life. And I want to encourage you, a nation loses hope, it loses its dream. A Christian loses hope, he struggles to hold on to the future. When a church loses hope, it stops dreaming. But hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Can I have an amen on that? Now, over the past weeks, I've been ministering, and we've been ministering into the subject of the Holy Spirit, and our theme was the promise. Tonight, we come to land it. You see, the teaching of the Holy Spirit is so often little understood by people. If they do understand, they have a strange understanding. In fact, they ignore or kind of keep the Holy Spirit at bay for some reason because they don't fully understand. And slowly the Holy Spirit becomes less and less known by us. In fact, some preachers refer to the Holy Spirit as the forgotten God. In fact, one author wrote, "The God I never knew." He was speaking about the Holy Spirit. And over the weeks, we focused on who He is. And I pushed into establishing that He's a person, but He's also your God. And then we moved into His role, what He does, who He is, and what He does. And the underlining thing is your helper. He's your one who comes alongside. Helps you in your weaknesses. Helps you in your times of struggle. And last week, Bobby preached and spoke into the fact that God has a great desire for you. For everyone sitting here, God has a dream for you. That you will grow. So that you become like Jesus. Now, you will never be Jesus, but people want to see your life reflecting the person that you love and follow. Because we become what we love. We worship what we love. And so the whole tone of the ministry was around the Holy Spirit helps you to be transformed and changed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord works within you so that we can become more like Him," speaking of Jesus. But today, I want to land this series, and I spoke about it in the morning service. Why? I'm going to answer the why you desperately need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. The why that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask you to first take a moment to pray together with me. I want you just to come quietly before the presence of God. Take a moment to let go of the things that have been bothering you or been carrying it with you. And look at someone called Jesus, just looking down at you, wanting to ask you to look back at him. Someone who loves you. Someone who cares. Lord, we come to you. If ever there was a time in our nation and for your people to arise and shine, it's now. Our nation facing the challenges. The prophet spoke about darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth. But it said, now let us arise and shine for all to see. We need your Holy Spirit to quicken, to stir us so that we may go to the brokenhearted, the discouraged, and bring comfort. So come, Holy Spirit, stir us up. Stir us up afresh. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Last week, Bobby and I were very fortunate to have some time off, and we took some time to rest, and we took some time to connect. And on the 4th of July, we celebrated our 39th wedding anniversary. I often reflect on the 4th of July. Why the 4th of July? The 4th of July, you don't forget very easily because it's American Independence Day, and no American in the world will let you ever forget that day. And I realize I got to memorize that day because I never, ever want to forget that day. But it's also a day in which we declared that we were dependent on Him. In God we trust, and Bobby and I set our hearts on the journey together following Him. And one of the days in which we were off, it was Thursday, we were able to go through to what is known as the Andrew Murray Center for Spirituality in Wellington. It's a center that's housed in Hayes Samuel, which is a building that was built by Andrew Murray, a minister, and his wife, Emma, in 1875. The goal and the purpose of this building and its venue was dedicated to the training of missionaries that would go and show God's love to people, would go and take the light of the gospel and bring life to many people. God spoke to Andrew Murray and his wife while they were on holiday in Cork Bay, in their beach little cottage. And in that cottage, they decided that God had shared with them that they needed to create a place to train people. Compelled by the Holy Spirit, they saw in excess of 500 missionaries training and sent far and wide. Bobby and I were also able to join in a prayer service with some folk that were at the center. We prayed in a little chapel which was once a stable, which housed the horses and the donkeys and whatever this place was. But unknown to them, it actually, when they converted the chapel, the stable into a chapel, a beautiful place. And as you can see on the screen, you look out those windows and you see far and wide. You see the mountains in the distance. You see the trees. But you also see the unfinished construction slash landscape. That chapel, as we were praying together, I began to sense God speaking to me. As I looked at the mountains and the bushes and the distant, un-yet tilled land, I became aware that God saw the land that we live in like that. That there are people living, and I became aware of it, broken. People that are lives, or they're trying to put it together, but they couldn't find a place to finally put it all together. And I left it at that. Walking outside, I noticed that the sky had become dark and expecting rain, and I thought, Lord, some people are living like that. I couldn't get those thoughts out of my mind. And as we were walking out, I engaged with one of the people that are involved in the ministry there. He began to tell me something about the place. You see, the missionaries that were in training were referred to, seriously, I'm going to say it, as donkeys. Now, whenever you use the word you're a donkey, you're normally thinking, you know, you're slow, you're stubborn, you're really just the lowest of it. But then he explained why those young folk and the folk training as missionaries were called donkeys. They said Jesus rode on a donkey to bring the good news. We want to be the donkeys that will take Jesus to the furthest parts of the world. If you look at the picture, and if you can go back, the picture in the distance, you'll see some trees in the far distance. That's a bush called donkey bush. And in that bushes, the missionaries would come out at night, light their candles, light their lamps. They'll go down to that place to spend nights in prayer, praying, seeking God, asking God for the power to go and do the will of God. They were looking to God for the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit. God empower us. Many of them experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, God reminded me then, if we are going to be a light and we're going to be the salt of the earth, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. When the Spirit of God captivates people, something shifts. They want to be light. They want to go to the world and share the light of Jesus with them. Listen to what Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 to 16 says, let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this world. If you lose your saltiness, you will be people that have no taste and useless, and you will be thrown into the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I have put you there on the hilltop, on the light stand, you will shine that all will see. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up to God. Be generous like your Father in heaven. These missionaries had a desire. Can I say this to you today? If ever was a time that we need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, to be witnesses to the light of God, to be witnesses to the hope of God, to shine and to be salt, it's now. And so how are we going to do that? It's when we're baptized and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why he was given to us. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter, well, I want to mention Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, just to bring clarity to you. When you came to Jesus Christ, when you received him as your Lord, when you asked him to come and take your life and you got converted, the Bible says, and now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit. The day you became a Christian, the day you surrendered to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came and lived in you. He came and lived inside your life. You have the Holy Spirit if you're a follower of Jesus. And Galatians goes on further to say in chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, you were all baptized into Christ, so you are all clothed with Christ. That means that you are the children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. He uses a strange word. He uses the word baptized into Christ. What he's really saying is you were immersed into Jesus Christ. The word baptized means to be totally immersed. I have a bottle of water. If I drink from this, I'll deplete the water. But imagine if I took this water, took the top off, and I placed it into a swimming pool with a vast amount of water. I immersed it into the pool. You will never, ever see this container and this ever empty, continuous filling. So what he's really saying is you came to Jesus. You were baptized into him. You became one with him. And from that place, he baptized you into his family, his church. You became part of the greatest purpose that God ever had, was his church. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, Jesus then tells them, now that you've received me, many of them went on to be baptized and immersed in water. But Jesus told them there's more. Once when he was eating in Acts chapter 1 verses 4 and 5 with them, he told them, now leave Jerusalem, he said, wait there to receive the promise from the Father, which I told you about. John baptized people with water, but in a few days I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He uses the same word, you will be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Yes, you received the Holy Spirit at conversion, but now you're going to be totally immersed in this water, totally filled with an endless supply, never short. Listen to the sequence of events very quickly. In John chapter 20, Jesus makes his first appearance to the disciples after he was resurrected. The Bible says they were locked behind doors because of fear. They were afraid. And in those moments, Jesus comes through the door. The first word he says to them, peace be with you. Now let me tell you, if somebody comes walking through the door, I want to hear, peace, please, peace be with me. Jesus comes and appears to them, filled with fear, filled with a sense of it's all lost and hopelessness. And there Jesus meets with them, and he begins to talk to them. As he leaves, he says these words to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Are you serious? You want us who are so afraid to go and tell people to be salt and be light? We were there when you told us what we should live like. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 20. But you know, it was 40 days later when they experienced the baptism, the full immersion by the Holy Spirit. They were filled and they overflowed. In Acts chapter 2 verse 4, the New Living Translation says, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit descended upon them. In Acts chapter 2, those moments where there were tongues of fire and there was a great manifestation of God. But listen to what it says. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. I want you to notice the emphasis of the verse. The emphasis is the context of being baptized, being filled. Tongues is a result of something. Tongues is not the focus of this passage. Sadly, the church has made that the focus. I want you to hear this very clearly, that it's a privilege and a benefit to have a heavenly language, a language where your spirit prays, and it almost surpasses the mind, and you pray in the spirit. Paul wrote, and he says, you pray in your understanding, and you pray in your spirit. But I want to be very clear with you. It is not the proof that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not the evidence. It's the privilege for every believer to know. So there are those first-class Christians and second-class Christians. Those who have it, oh, you don't have it actually. No, it's not that. It speaks about being filled. And I want you to notice the evidence, the clear evidence that happened. From chapter 2, reading further. When these disciples were filled with fear, remember I told you in John chapter 20, captivated by fear, their hopes were gone, their dreams were gone, they had no hope. Somehow something shifts with them. Acts chapter 2, verse 14, just a few verses later. The first thing that happens to them, the Bible says, then Peter. Now, who's Peter? The one who denied Jesus three times. The one who actually blasphemed against Jesus. The one who said, you, I don't know this man. He denied Jesus in front of a young lady working as a servant lady, serving. He was afraid. He was intimidated. But listen to the text. Then Peter stood up, stepped forward, and with others, the 11, and they began to shout to the crowd the message of salvation. Stepping up, they were now emboldened. They weren't afraid. They weren't people intimidated any longer. There was a new fire inside them. They were given the filling of the Holy Spirit, which enabled them to be the witnesses that God always intended them to be. That's why the Holy Spirit has been given. You'd be a witness. If ever there's a time in our nation for people to rise and stand up and to declare to the darkness around us to be salt and light, it is now. That's why you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why you need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you three very simple, straightforward steps. You see, Paul gives a command in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine. He says, don't allow your senses to control you. Don't allow your own passions to control you. This will ruin you. But be filled with the Spirit. Three things I want to share with you that I found helpful for me. Number one, and I'll have the keyboard, just thank you. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, the first thing is you've got to remove the barriers. Some of our barriers may be skepticism. Some of our barriers may be unbelief. Some of our barriers may be, why do I need this? Some of our barriers may be issues of sin. Things that we've covered up. Things that we've not allowed to bring to the light to God. Things that we've struggled with and we've kept it secrets. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter, the same one preaching, hears the people respond to him. And they say, what must we do to be saved? Peter's response was, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Repentance means turning away, letting go. It means coming to that place where you get honest with God. It means being real before Him to say, you know, I gave my life to Jesus, but I'm dry and I'm empty. I'm like those dry bones in the book of Ezekiel. I've got no power. I never, when I'm with the crowd, I'm like them. When I'm standing in church, I don't feel the freedom necessary. He wants to fill you. He wants to embolden you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to encourage you. I became a Christian in my last year of high school. And immediately I desired God, but I struggled. I began to organize a prayer meeting in the mornings early when the guys would come to school. We were in a boys' school. And we began to pray in the library. They gave me permission. It was one morning as we were praying. There must have been about 40 of us. Broke up in groups. I found myself mumbling under my breath. I didn't know what it was. I asked someone to pray with me who was a school teacher, who I knew was a Christian. He said, see me after school, and I met with him. And he began to try to share with me, but as he was sharing, the Holy Spirit was working, because a new desire to turn away, to be emboldened, to do more for Jesus was rising inside of me. And as he prayed for me, something shifted inside of me. Yes, I did speak in tongues, but something else happened. I walked out there saying, I can do more for Christ who strengthens me. That's the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Remove the barriers. The second thing is you need to request. That means you need to ask. Don't expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, because we are going to pray for people afterwards if you don't want it. God is not handing out to those who don't ask. Asking is an act of coming to someone who's able to do something. It's saying, I have a need. I can't do this on my own. I can't keep this pretense any longer. It's when you say, I don't need help, you're just covering up pride. You see, when you ask for help, you've got to humble yourself. You say, God, I can't do this on my own. And he's waiting. He's waiting. Let me read to you from Luke 11, verses 11 to 13. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father not give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? God won't fill you if you don't want it. It's an act of humility. It's an act of saying, God, I'm desperate. I can't keep the pretense. I can't pretend I'm a Christian, and when I'm not with Christians, I'm not a Christian. I just can't do this anymore. There's a level of desperation that comes. I knew that was mine. I wanted to be all that God wanted me to be. I said yes to Jesus. The third thing is, you have to receive this by faith. You have to take a step of faith. When you came to Jesus and you gave him your life and you surrendered to his authority over your life, you placed your faith in him. He said, if anyone comes to me, I will no way cast them out. You trusted what he said. You trusted the person. Now he's asking you to trust him to fill you. Because he said, how much more will I not give you the Holy Spirit? Remember, it's Peter. On that day when he heard Jesus in the boat. Excuse me, Jesus walking in the water and he's in the boat. And he sees Jesus and he desires. There was a desire inside of him. He said, if it's you, call me and I'll come. And Jesus said, come. Peter had to get out of the boat so he could walk on water. There is a step of faith that you have to take tonight. In the book of Ezekiel, there's a passage which teaches and uses symbolism of water, which is indicated in the New Testament and the Old Testament of a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 47 says, "The man went towards the east with a line in his hand and measured out 1/3 of a mile. Then he led me through water that came up to my ankles. The man measured about 1/3 of a mile again and led me through the water that came up to my knees. Then he measured about 1/3 of a mile again and the water came up to my waist. And the man measured 1/3 of a mile again, but it was now a river that I could not cross. The water had risen too high. It was deep enough for swimming. It was the river that no one could cross." You see, when you took your first step of believing Jesus, it came to your ankles. You see, then you started trusting Him. It came up to your knees. And then it comes to your waist. And then you find that the water is even deeper and you can't touch. You find that you tiptoe in. And eventually you have to let go. And you start just allowing yourself to be totally immersed. It's your step of faith today. You need to take that step. We're going to be singing a song because afterwards we're going to pray for folk. But before I pray, before we sing, you say to me, "Is that it?" Yes, God doesn't complicate things. You've got to come to that place where you repent. That means you turn away. You've got to come to that place where you say, "Lord, I'm really requesting. I want this. I have a desire." And then you have to receive it. That means you've got to be open. You've got to come honestly before God. The story of Naaman and Elisha. Naaman was a general that was filled with leprosy. And so he goes to this Elisha, and Elisha is going to heal him, he thinks. But Elisha tells him to do something else, to dip himself into the river Jordan 3 times. And immediately Naaman says, "No ways am I going to do that in this dirty river. I will never humble myself like that." But I want you to hear what his officers said to him, because he was a general. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So, should you surely obey him when he asked you also to do something simple, like go and wash and be cured?" So Naaman went down into the Jordan and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. There's a step of obedience that you need to take. We're going to sing. I'm going to ask you to dim the lights. I'm going to ask you to stand all together, all of us as we stand now. We're going to prepare ourselves as we're going to pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I want you to be open. I want you to set aside your thoughts. I want you to think of God wanting to give you a gift that will empower you to be the witness, to be the salt, to be the light, so you can live. Living with God in you, and then taking Him to a world with no faith or no God. Come, let's worship together.